This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
It's producer Joseph stepping in for Louise for this week's edition of What's Cooking, and I'm thrilled to be joined by Alberto Rossi, who is executive head chef at the Intercontinental Hotel in Dublin. Alberto, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem at all, Joseph. It's a pleasure.
And just to jump straight into it, can you just tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to Ireland?
So obviously Alberto Rossi, Italian by birth, but I was born to an Irish mother and an Italian father. So I have a deep and strong connection with Ireland. We would come over and visit granny in Monkstown or my aunt in Dunleary for about a month and a half or 2 months during the summer holidays. Once the Italian holidays were finished for 2 or 3 weeks at the sea, we all come up here and spend time in Monkstown. And so it was always quite interesting to have a double or a dual attitude toward life. You know, you have the Italian side of it, and then you have the Irish side. And it's completely different, you know. And then when I decided at a certain point in my career that I wanted to have an experience abroad, options were England or United States. And I said, you know what, I'll go to Ireland because if something happens, at least a family I can rely upon. And so I arrived here in 2002, and I started to work in the Four Seasons Hotel in Dublin, and was really eye-opening. I think as much as I can say that I love being a chef and I always wanted to do it, those 3 years that I spent in the Four Seasons really probably shaped my career with the support, the training, and also were very early days of the Celtic Tiger. So it was a bit crazy. But that will be my background. And then I also spent a year in New Zealand with my then girlfriend, that then became my wife. Then we did the pre-opening of the Ritz-Carlton down in Enniskerry, and now it's a Powers Court Hotel and it's our sister property. But I've been here more or less about 10 years.
Really interesting to hear about your background and the fact that you have family in Ireland. How do you feel that heritage, the fact that there's a mix of Italian and Irish ancestry, how has that influenced your cooking and then the dishes that you create in your day-to-day?
Well, one thing or not, Joseph, by being born in Italy and I did all my school in Italy, you have the Italian character that always comes through. One thing or not, is there. So I probably have a basic classic cooking techniques that are based on the Italian. But then, you know, like we'll be probably going during summer down at my Italian granny, and she'll be there making gnocchi. Doesn't matter how many people should have at home, there'll be a kilo of spaghetti with tomato sauce. 2 people, 6 people, 7 people, always be a kilo of spaghetti. And then coming over to Ireland, the reality was different, you know. I remember if we tried to walk inside the garage in my grandparents' house, granny would always shout, "Be careful of the fryer!" Because, you know, at the times they used to do always the fries in the fry test, and they would leave the pan cooling down in the garage. And I always thought, what time that happened in Italy? It was a completely different way of approach to the food and the culture. And, you know, like things that I give it to here, like putting the vinegar on the chips. My God, when I went back to Italy and we'll do some sport events at school or stuff like that, and I'll ask for the vinegar to put on the chips. They call my mom, like, "Oh, Alberto is putting something fresh on the chips." So there's a complete different attitude toward the food. That I'm not saying it's wrong or right, it was just completely different. And it gave us a different view on almost everything. And even how you approach daily things, you know, family life and everything like that was completely different. In a way, it prepared me to be in a kitchen that it's always full of people with a different background due to cultures. And I think having witnessed that at home growing up, that things can be different, even just by Italy and Ireland, that they are not that far away.
Yeah, totally. It's funny there how you mentioned vinegar on chips. Are there any other like traditional Irish dishes that you really enjoy now, having had your experience over 20 years in Ireland, coming here during the summers when you were growing up as well?
Well, there's a lot. Like, you know, take for example, even if you were to talk about Christmas Day, okay, in my house we would do half and half. It would be half the Italian tradition and half the Irish tradition. So we'll have kirk with the ham, you know, and the stuffing, you know, that usually people don't have for Christmas in Italy, you know. So just eating complete different things, or even like different soups, you know. In Italy it would be maybe based with some pasta, or, you know, small pasta that's called pastina. Instead here would be more liquid, or even going to different restaurants. bacon and cabbage and stuff like that. Growing up, you're like, well, what is this? It's so different. But I enjoy the newly, I don't know if you can call it the newly Irish cuisine, but for sure, a lot of people that came from a different background, probably Italy, France, even Germany and Spain, over the last 20 years in Ireland. I'm not saying that it helped shape what's now, but techniques and cultures have been absorbed by the Irish chefs, and I'm glad that they are showcasing fantastic Irish produce that is probably second to none when you talk about dairy products, all the meat, not even the variety of the fish, although fish is not widely eaten at the moment in Ireland, but it's great that all that has been collected, reworked, and now it's part of Irish cuisine. You know, it's fantastic. I think we are in a great place at the moment here in Ireland with the level of cooking, the level of restaurants. It's so diverse. You know, they're not all huge with 200 covers. They have nice 40, 60-seater restaurants, and they are so interesting. Absolutely a great moment to be here in Ireland.
If we move towards specifics and specifically looking at your dishes, what would you say your signature dish is, and is there a story behind it?
Well, I love cooking risotto, okay? That would be probably some of my signature dishes. Now, there are so many different kinds of risotto, but it's probably based on the fact that, let's say that you're going to France, okay, and you want to work as a chef. Usually they ask you to cook eggs and omelets, you know? In Italy, instead, to decide what level a chef is, you do something like a risotto, especially in the north where I am from, because I'm from Milan, because there is a technique in cooking the risotto, you know, and that always stuck with me, that wherever you ended up working or doing a trial, you'd be asked to do a risotto. So I always add it down to a tea. And I also come from the village of Pier Emanuele that is surrounded by rice. Not many people know it, but Italy is one of the highest producers of rice in the world. You know, obviously not the basmati rice of the Asian style, but all the European like Cannaroli, Arborio. So when people think, oh, rice made in Italy, and so anything to do with rice, I love to do it. And at the moment, we have on the menu what is called the summer risotto. So we have sea purée, peas, broad beans. And then we do a compounded butter that is just butter mixed with a little bit of salt, lemon zest, and parsley. So then when you finish your risotto with that flavor, it just brings in all the summery and all the light flavors, and that goes fantastic with peas. And then you can do a mushroom risotto come in the autumn, in winter, and that, like any flavor that you like, you can just put it through the risotto, and you have technique, and you have flavor, and you have skill. So it's one of those great things.
Oh, Alberto, that sounds mouthwatering. I must try it sometime.
Please do, Joseph. You're welcome to come over.
Oh, I would love to. Just to finish off, and this is our last question, could you share a simple recipe that our listeners could maybe try at home?
Well, at the moment, there's a lot of carbonara. We can do a nice carbonara, spaghetti alla carbonara. So you're going to need, let's say that you're cooking for four people, you usually put in about 80, 85 grams of dry spaghetti for everybody, okay? And then you need guanciale, but you can also use bacon. The difference there is that guanciale is the cheek of the pork and has a little bit more fat. So what happens is that when you cook it in a pan without any additional fat, that will crisp up nicely and give a lot of flavor. And then you're going to need an egg yolk for every person. That's going to, so if you have four people, you put four egg yolks. You put them in a bowl, you crack in quite a lot of pepper, black pepper, and then you add a spoon of grated Parmesan cheese per person. So four people, four egg yolks, a good crack of black pepper, four spoons of grated Parmesan cheese, and then you mix it with your fork, okay? Then you have your bacon or your guanciale crisping up in the pan with a little bit of oil that is all common from the rendered fat. Then you have your pasta cooking. So I always say the pasta cooking is very simple. Just check what time it says in the packet that you buy. If it says 8 minutes, then it is 8 minutes and it's ready. But what you want to do is you want to keep it al dente. So you still have the little bite. So you're cooking maybe a minute less, 7 minutes. And in this case, what you do is that you have to strain the pasta. And then from the strainer, you take the pasta and you mix it with the guanciale or the bacon. So all the fat gives the flavor to the pasta. Then you take that pasta mixed with the oil and the bacon, and you put it in the bowl where your egg mix is. You see, if you were to add the egg mix into the pan, that will turn into a scrambled egg spaghetti that ain't tasty as much as you can try to swerve it. It's not as good. So by putting the spaghetti inside the bowl where the egg is, there is no heat coming, but from within. And then that you just mix it up until the egg creams up with the spaghetti. You can add maybe a little bit of the cooking water, but there is starch in it, and that will make it even a little bit more creamy. Now, the only thing with that is that you have to eat it straight away. You can't be putting it there, start to take pictures you just want to put on Instagram. The egg will congeal, and then you're going to have, like, scrambled egg spaghetti. You don't want that.
Alberto, that sounds absolutely amazing. I love carbonara, so that's definitely one I'm going to be trying myself.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, it is a great. And you can have it for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's one of the super-duper dishes that works.
Oh, don't be tempting me. Don't be tempting me. Listen, Alberto, thank you so much for joining me today.
No
I really, really appreciate it. I must catch up with you again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joseph.
The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.